since April of 1985. This is the DX Audio Service. National Radio
Club. Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for June 2010. This is issue number 303. If you'd like to write to us at the DX Audio Service, the address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Email is sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. Canadian members is $28. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org, and you can sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Or if you're on the internet, you can sign up to e-dxn and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system. And remember, you must be able to download and navigate a website to use that service. Well, let's use the services of Mr. Bill Hale. He's going to tell us all about those switches and things. Here's Bill.
Welcome, everyone, to the June issue of AM Switch on the DX Audio Service. First of all, call letter changes. 570, the former WDOX in Raleigh, North Carolina, is now known as WQDR. 980, WNBI, Park Falls, Wisconsin, their new call is WPFP. 730, WNAK, Natticoke, Pennsylvania, they go by the call of WZMF now. 910, WWWR, Roanoke, Virginia, they've changed to WFJX. 1,000 on the dial, WNSI, Robertsdale, Alabama, their new call, WBZR. 1050, WIQB, Conway, South Carolina, they've changed to WHSC. 1140, the former WJNZ in Kentwood, Michigan, their call now is WVHF. Sounds like the wrong band to me. 1230, WIKB, Iron River, Michigan, they're now known as WFER. 1280 WWPG, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, their letterhead and official call sign now reads WMXV. 1320, the former WTSJ in Randolph, Vermont, their call now WCVR. 1340, a new station in Jackson, California, they've picked KVGC as their new call. 1450 WHSC, Hartsville, South Carolina, they've changed to WTOD. 1490, another news station, also in California, located in Susanville, they're now KLZN. 1520, WSQB, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, they've switched to KZOY. And finally, 1560, the former WTOD in Toledo, Ohio, their call now is WWYC. Now on the air, 780 WPNN, Pensacola, Florida. They're now on the air with 3,000 watts daytime only directional, moving from 790 and dropping their nighttime authorization. WCPT 820 in Willow Springs, Illinois. They're now on with 5,000 watts daytime and 1,500 watts nighttime. The new night facilities are off a six-tower array about 30 miles southeast of the day site. The new night pattern directs the signal to the northeast away from Fort Worth's 820. They also have been issued an auxiliary license for daytime-only non-directional with 3,200 watts from the tower of co-owned WSBC 1240. So, WCPT has three licensed broadcast sites. Also on 820, this one in Chester, Virginia, WGGM, they're licensed for U4 10,000 watts days and 1,000 watts nights. WGGM is operating under a special temporary authority, after which we'll call them an STA, with 2,500 watts daytime and 250 watts nights from tower number 3 of their 3-tower array due to theft of a portion of copper ground associated with the ground system. 950 KJTV Lubbock, Texas, licensed for U4. Remember, U4 is different patterns day and night. 5,000 watts by day, 500 watts at night. KJTV has been operating or had been operating on an STA with 1,000 watts daytime only non-directional due to the loss of their transmitter and associated hardware in a fire since 2005. They have now returned to their licensed facilities, but with slight variances to their patterns as final adjustments are made. 1170 WACV Montgomery, Alabama, licensed for U4, 10,000 watts by day, 1,000 watts nights. WACV is operating under an STA with 4,500 watts days and 7 watts nights, all non-directional, due to, quote, weather-related damage. 1180 WPLX Terrell, Alabama, now on the air with U7. That's three different patterns, day, night, and critical hours. Their power levels are 5,000 watts by day, 26 watts at night, and 3,500 watts during those critical hours. They used to be on 1170, licensed at Germantown, Tennessee. 1550 WAZX Smyrna, Georgia. They're now on with 50,000 watts directional daytime, 16 watts at night non-directional, and that code is U5, lowering their nighttime power while eliminating the night directional pattern. Some actions this past month on 630 WNEG Toccoa, Georgia. They're licensed for U1, 500 watts days, 44 watts at night. They had a CP for U2, 500 watts days, 220 watts at night. Remember that U2 is nighttime directional only. They then applied for U2, 5,000 watts days, 44 watts at night, which has been approved. 660 WBHR, Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, licensed for U4, 10,000 watts during the day, 500 watts at night. WBHR is operating under an STA with 2,500 watts daytime, 500 watts at night, all non-directional, while co-owned WXYG540 is locating their operation to the WBHR antenna array. 1030 WNVR, Vernon Hills, Illinois, CP has been granted for U7, 2,700 watts during the day, 210 watts at night, 8,000 watts during critical hours. They've added two towers to their current array, and they now use 6 during the day, 5 at night, and 6 during critical hours. The patterns are daytime. This throws the majority of the power to the northwest with a small lobe to the southeast. At night, they have a large lobe to the north with a smaller lobe to the south-southwest. And during critical hours, a large circular lobe to the northwest with a smaller lobe to the southeast. That POCA format in Vernon Hills must be doing pretty good. 1120 KTXW in Manor, Texas. A CP amendment has been granted for this unbuilt station, 430 watts during the day, 153 watts at night, two different patterns. Once again, that's U4. 1150 KOLJ, Quanah, Texas. CP has been granted for 530 watts during the day, 77 watts at night, all non-directional, that's U1. 1220 WOTS, Kissimmee, Florida. CP has been granted for 2,500 watts during the day, 210 watts at night, U4, increasing both day and night power levels. 1240 WEZR, Lewiston, Maine. They've been granted 1,000 watts during the day, 860 watts at night, non-directional. They've lowered the nighttime power from a kilowatt. 1270 WNLS, Tallahassee, Florida. A CP has been granted to decrease their nighttime power and go non-directional. They're now U1, 5,000 watts during the day, 110 watts at night. 1290 WOWZ, Roanoke, Virginia. Licensed for non-directional 1,000 watts at Appomattox. WOWZ had a construction permit for U1, 6,000 watts days, 17 watts at night, moving to Roanoke, co-locating with the WFJX910 antenna site. This modification of their CP grants them 10,000 watts during the day, 17 watts at night, still all non-directional. 1410 WNGL, Mobile, Alabama. They've been granted U4, 5,000 watts during the day, 4,600 watts at night, moving to a new antenna site. The new night pattern will essentially be the same as the old one, which is a kidney shape with the null toward the north. 1460 KCLE, Burleson, Texas. They've been granted U4, 11,000 watts during the day, 700 watts at night. The new day pattern is kidney-shaped with a null toward the northwest, while the night pattern remains unchanged with equal slender lobes to the southeast and northwest. 1560 WWYC, Toledo, Ohio. They've been granted a license modification from commercial to non-commercial educational status. Four new stations have been granted this past month. 670 Mesilla, New Mexico. They've been granted U4, 1,250 watts days, 250 watts at night from two towers. They use both towers day and night, producing a day pattern which resembles a perfect circle based at Mesilla, offset to the southwest with a slight null off the back, and the night pattern which looks like a shoe print with the heel to the northeast and the sole headed southwest. 1210, Bixby, Oklahoma. They've been granted U7, 7,500 watts days, 250 watts at night, 7,200 watts during critical hours from four towers, which is used all the time. The day and CH patterns favor the east with an additional lobe to the northwest, while the night pattern has six different sized lobes headed northeast, north-northeast, southeast, south, southwest, and northwest. 1290, a new station in Santa Clara, Utah, has been granted. U4, 2,000 watts during the day, 250 watts at night from four towers. They use four during the day and also at night. Santa Clara is located near St. George. And a new station has been granted in Middleton, Idaho. They'll have 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. Middleton is located about 20 miles northwest of Boise. A couple of amendments to construction permits have been granted. 1420 WBLR, Batesburg, South Carolina. They're licensed for 5,000 watts during the day, 142 watts at night, non-directional. They hold a CP for 5,000 watts during the day, 163 watts at night, non-directional. They've now applied to move to Grovetown, Georgia, with that U1, 5,000 watts days, 163 watt parameters. And 1510 WQQW, Highland, Illinois. Licensed for D3, that's daytime only directional, 1,000 watts. WQQW had a CP for D3, 5,000 watts during the day. This amendment requests D4, 1,000 watts during the day, and 1,000 watts during critical hours moving to Belleville. Remember, D4, daytime only with some critical hours operation, two different patterns. Applications this month, 910 KCJB, Minot, North Dakota. They've applied to increase their night power to match the daytime power and go U4. So that'll be 5,000 watts day and night with two different patterns. 1150 WJBO, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They've applied for U4, 15,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, raising that day power. And 1460 WJTI, West Allis, Wisconsin. They've applied to move their city of license to Milwaukee. Applications for new stations. Remember back a few years ago, Terre Haute, Indiana had a station on 640 and 1230, and the licenses for both stations was revoked due to improprieties by the owner. Remember that? Well, somebody else has stepped in, and now they've applied for those frequencies in Terre Haute. On 640, the application is for U2, 250 watts during the day, 250 watts at night. And on 1230, the application is for 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. Other station applications, 1040, Sanger, California. They've applied for 1,500 watts during the day, 1,500 watts at night, U4. 1360, new station has been applied for in Santa Maria, California, with 2,000 watts day and night, U4. Updates to our AM on FM list. On 630, WAVU, Albertville, Alabama. They're now heard on W298BG 107.5 in Blue Mountain. 1080, KOAK, Red Oak, Iowa. They're heard on K275BM 102.9 in Elliott. 1590 KDAE, Sinton, Texas. They're heard on full power KTLZ 89.9 Cuero. And 1600 WKFC, Corbin, Kentucky. They're heard on W256BM 99.1 in North Corbin. Well, last month we reported that WDGY 630 in Hudson, Wisconsin had been turned down for their application wanting to increase their daytime-only power from 2,500 to 5,500 watts. They've adjusted some of the directional parameters and resubmitted that application. One license cancellation this past month, 1360 WVMC Mount Carmel, Illinois. Returning to the airwaves this past month, WYFN 980 in Nashville, Tennessee, after being off due to the flooding. WKSC 1300, Kearshaw, South Carolina, returns to the air with talk. WTOD 1450, Hartsville, South Carolina, is back with ESPN Sports. WCRS 1450, Greenwood, South Carolina, has returned. KWUD 1490 in Woodville, Texas is back with Classic Country, and WMNE 1600 Riviera Beach, Florida returns with ethnic programming. Reported as silent, WNHV 910 White River Junction, Vermont, WYFN 980 Nashville, Tennessee, WQVA 1170 Lexington, South Carolina, KRJY 1240 Sacramento, California, WMON 1340 Montgomery, Alabama, WSEL 1440 Pontotoc, Mississippi, WWKO 1480 Fairbluff, North Carolina, and WKXG 1540 Greenwood, Mississippi. Fines reported, WLLL 930 Lynchburg, Virginia has been fined $22,000 for repeatedly failing to maintain operational emergency alert system equipment, exceeding its licensed nighttime operating power, and failing to maintain and make available a public inspection file. Also fined, WCLM 1450 Highland Springs, Virginia. Their fine is $21,000 for failure to have functioning EAS equipment, having no public inspection file or any of the required contents of the file available, plus operating with a defective DC plate meter. It read 0 volts at the time of the inspection. Also, the station was unable to control the remote transmitter operation from the main studio because of an inoperative remote control system. Well, here's a news item which should prick up your ears. Good old AM band is finally getting some attention. Broadcast radio consultant Richard Arsenault has a bold idea to offset electrical interference to the reception of AM radio in the United States. He has petitioned the Federal Communications Commission to allow virtually all AM stations, if they wish, to increase daytime power tenfold, or if that's not possible, at least fourfold. This is separate from his earlier petition addressing pre-sunrise authorization rules on which the commission is taking comment. Arsenault argues that the AM service has suffered serious degradation of coverage from interference caused by new technologies. He cites broadband over power lines, computers, appliances like microwave ovens, energy-efficient fluorescent lighting with integrated solid-state switching circuitry, and virtually all other electronic devices and services. In his eyes, reception of AM radio is almost useless in many areas. Typically, co-channel and adjacent channel interference are no longer the limiting factors to interference-free reception during daytime hours, he told Radio World in a summary of his new petition. The commission established service contours, he quotes, and interference protection ratios at an earlier time when interference from existing electrical equipment was minimal and interference from digital electronics did not exist. At that time, the protected contours and the interference ratios made sense. Unfortunately, they were calculated without available foresight of the future digital technological revolution. Arsenault says few radios are capable of satisfactory reception under the protected daytime service areas out to the 0.5 millivolt per meter contour that applies to most AMs. Quoting him again, what we currently have are AM broadcast stations adequately protecting each other in the AM radio band, but these same stations are not receiving protection from the intense electromagnetic interference from unintentional sources, end of quote. He wants the FCC to rethink its protected service contours. Quoting him again, the sources of electromagnetic interference are part of our current lifestyle and will only get worse, end of quote. Increasing power during daytime hours would solidify daytime coverage of participating stations without altering the interference ratios between them. Once again, we quote Mr. Arsenault, I recommend that a 10-fold or 10 dB power increase be adopted. If this cannot be achieved, alternately power increases of 4-fold or 6 dB could be adopted and still be significant. Ultimately, anything less than a doubling of power or 3 dB would be almost insignificant, end of quote. Arsenault suggests that the FCC allow the increases during a 5-year window. He also suggests a grace period to allow stations that elect to participate the time to install upgrades. Stations would need only to send a letter to the FCC specifying the degree of power increase and date of implementation. All future interference calculations could be made utilizing the previous lower power levels of all stations, simplifying future allocation issues, he is quoted as saying. as to border areas and those where a saltwater interference path to foreign stations exists, stations could use directional antennas or a partial power increase. He would limit the power hike to daytime hours, at least at first, until nighttime interference concerns could be worked out. He concludes, AM radio service will further decline without serious intervention to remedy the interference issue, as the ratio of unintentional interference to AM radio will only increase further with the addition of each new technology. The time to get the static out of AM radio is past due. Well, back in April, we had a word about two new Sanjin portable AM and FM HD-capable radios. Since then, I've been attempting to obtain some updated information concerning these radios from the manufacturer. Finally, a local Sanjin representative contacted me, but the news isn't good, at least for now. The original Sanjin news item stated that they were working on two models, one named the DT-600 with basic features that was slated to be released in June. The second, named the DT-800, a higher-end version with a few added features, would be out in October. Word now is that they have decided not to produce the cheaper model and go with the one with all the bells and whistles. But, and I quote the message I received, the DT-800 schedule of production has not yet been finalized, therefore no initial arrival date in the U.S. is available. But I've been promised an update when Sanjin finally decides to market the radio, and of course, when I hear anything, I'll pass it along. The CRTC held a hearing on May 12th to deal with several repeat offenders who have allegedly continued to breach the Broadcast Act despite earlier directives from that agency to clean up their act. The AM stations involved are CHSC 1220 St. Catharines and CFAR 590 Finflon, among several FM stations. Noncompliance of regulations could possibly result in suspension or revocation of their licenses. As of our deadline, we've had no results of that session. Well, that's all for AM Switch this month, the month of grads and dads. My best to them all. My thanks go out to Sean Axelrod, Jerry Conkling, Harold Frodge, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, Dave Schmidt, HDRadio.com, and Radio World Online for a tip or two this month. We'll see you all next month.
Well, thanks and hi, everyone. About the time Mark Jones was reporting from Hawaii, we were spending some significant dollars on a new software-defined radio, or SDR as they're known. This particular case, the Premier, the Perseus. This radio actually allows us to record the entire broadcast band at one time, and in a computer format that allows us to play back the band at a later date to isolate the stations. It's a very neat way to log, and the software permits us to do a lot of filtering after the fact to pull up stations out of the noise that otherwise might have been lost. So when we set up this receiver, we're actually recording every dial spot from 5:30 to 17:10 in parallel, if you will, all at the same time. Today we'll bring you the first of our attempts at using this technology. On one of our recent trips west, we stopped on a hill near the Kansas-Nebraska border and strung out some wire. It wasn't the best of reception conditions, but it allowed us to hear the stations most folks who live around here can hear. The nearest, 50 miles away, and the farthest, about 250 miles. When you play back IDs captured all at the same time, you immediately note one thing. Those stations with the same news networks are obviously broadcasting the exact same news at the same time, so you'll forgive us when you hear the same news beginnings in many instances. We noted a couple of other things on our stop. First, and you'll hear this throughout this recording, how many of these AM stations give their frequency as well as call letters? Very helpful for the DXer. And second, how many of the regional farm stations are at the low end of the dial? Allocations originally intended for just such purpose. Wide area coverage of sparsely populated farm country from these low-end stations that typically get out far better than those on the high end of the band. A final comment before we get going. As we learn this Perseus radio, we begin to understand that because of its wide pickup capability, it is susceptible to noise and to electrical interference. We'll apologize in advance because there's a bit of that noise present on most of the stations, noise that we will work to eliminate on the next report. So off we go to the Kansas-Nebraska border. to see what they hear on the AM band in the heartland of America. The low-end stations are typically at 5,000 watts. Some, most, are directional at night at least. KFRM on 550 is pointed away from us and I think on rather short towers for that frequency. 570 is the ubiquitous WNAX Yankton. WIBW, a big gun prairie station from Topeka, Kansas. 590 is the former WOW Omaha, a noisy signal for this time of day due to nearby electrical interference. 610 is Kansas City, a pioneer in these parts, in fact, one of the very first licensed stations in the region. 750 KMMJ at Grand Island is 10,500 watts, looking right at us, and WHB in Kansas City is 50 kilowatts on 810.
Call Matt to get a quote at 308-920-2588. That's 308-920-2588. The voice of the Plains, 550 AM, KFRM, Salina, Kansas.
Kansas-built quality-built Titan trailers and Wilson aluminum trailers for outstanding performance.
Gasoline off 1 at 232, the Dow down 143, NASDAQ off 42, S&P down 20. Those are markets in WNAX.
Get information on the air or at WNAX.com. Radio 570, WNAX, Yankton.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The Obama administration may go to court over immigration in Arizona.
Jim Doblin, 580 WIBW News.
The final performance of the Emporia Symphony for the season, at least, is going to be tonight. It will be held at the Albert Taylor Hall, again, in Emporia. Right now, we have mostly clear skies. The temperature in Topeka, 61 degrees, also 61 in Lawrence. 580 WIBW Topeka. CBS News is next at 2 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The Obama administration may go to court over immigration in Arizona.
Mix it up with Band Smack every weekday from 11 to 2. Jim Rowe, exclusively on the mighty Big Sports 590. KFSB, Omaha.
Count the blood. Fox Sports 2, go now.
I'm just a brick Jacob. Feeling you. World champion L.A. Lakers got a dig deep tonight in their own house.
Show Me the Outdoors with your host Harry Afton and Shane Boyles will be broadcasting live at Lake Paradise this Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m. Stop by with your questions and see the new Heartland campers this Saturday only at Lake Paradise and on 610 Sports Radio.
The home of the Royals before, during, and after the game.
One drive, fair by a foot up the left field line.
610 Sports Radio, KCFB, Kansas City. The 610 Sports Radio update.
No. Sunny, 62 degrees, temperature steady, it'll be clear, and in the 50s tonight, here's what's happening.
Please, call someone right now who will help you begin a relationship with Jesus. Call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Get a fresh start with a clean heart.
You're listening to 750 AM KMMJ Grand Island, a listener-supported ministry of the Praise Network. The time is 2 o'clock.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Encouraging words from President Obama today.
Our economy is finally growing again.
Beginning this summer, Stony Creek Inn will be the training camp home of Sports Radio 810 WHB. At Stony Creek Inn, the great outdoors are indoors with their wilderness park complete with whirlpool spa, indoor-outdoor pool, and exercise room. Go to stonycreekinn.com or call 1-800-659-2220.
WHB, Kansas City.
ESPN Radio, Sports Center.
I'm Dan Davis. The Miami Heat got 46 points from Dwayne Wade in an astonishing performance to stay alive against the Celtics Saturday.
It's flatter than sin out here. A lot of last year's corn stocks have not yet been turned under as we visit in late April 2010. Other areas are greening up. The gigantic single-pivot sprinkler systems are being polished and pushed into place. And always on the horizon, a co-op grain elevator near the railroad track. KRVN in Lexington is considered the Big Brother farm station, 50 kilowatts blanketing the territory. Salina's KINA on 910 is less than a kilowatt, but its directional pattern is looking toward our listening location. One of the strongest signals in the area, KSAL Salina on 1150, and closer to home, and we heard this one, KHAS, a full-timer, at 1 kilowatt on the Graveyard 1230.
Are you considering a career in broadcasting? With the help of KRVN and the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Foundation, you can be a part of this exciting field. Let us help you reach your career goals. For more information, contact KRVN.
This is KRVN, Lexington, Nebraska. Ag information is coming up at 2:10 this afternoon.
News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady.
Dennis Miller Show.
The Dennis Miller Show on Westwood One. 910 KINA Salina. It's Coffee Talk with Jerry Henriquez and Randy Picking. Weekday mornings, 6 to 9 on 910 KINA.
Radio. I'm Lisa Brady.
No slick brochure or fancy sales pitch. Just straight, honest talk and quality service. Call today for your free inspection. 800-640-2273. That's Abilene Termite Pest Control.
The area's only 24-hour newsroom is Salina's News, Talk, and Sports Authority. News Radio 1150 KSAL. Salina.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
Celebrating 70 years on the air for Hastings. We're 1230 KHAS, HastingsLink.com.
In Arizona, the White House has left no question about its opposition to Arizona's state law allowing police to check for a green card of a suspected illegal immigrant.
The advantage of our Bandscan location is that we're a long way from cities and the centers of commerce. We didn't even hear KFAB where we stopped. Instead, we're listening in on the many local outlets that promote and grow the smaller communities across the prairie. And just south of here, a bit of history, Concordia, Kansas, with the World War II German prisoner camps. Here's a new one for me, Manhattan, Kansas, the home of Fort Riley, where I spent a couple of years one summer under the hot blazing sun. KMAN is 500 watts and sounds like it. KAWL in York is on 1370 with 500 watts. KNCK in Concordia was the closest tower to our listening location, but still about 40 miles away. And with 500 watts, it would be considered a fair, not good catch. Next was KRGI in Grand Island with 5,000 watts on 1430. There's a simulcast on two channels in neighboring communities, Kearney and Hastings, Nebraska. You'll hear first the Kearney signal, then the same ID on the Hastings station. Hastings is 500 watts, Kearney at 5,000. Note the difference in audio quality when you hear these two signals.
Extraordinary rates? Visit KansasStateBank.com, the Coffee Talk Bank. Kansas State Bank, member FDIC.
KMAN, Manhattan.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The Obama administration may go to court over immigration in Arizona.
ABC News Now, I'm Daria Albinger. It's a big payment from a big drug company. The government says AstraZeneca has settled a huge lawsuit accused of bribing physicians to promote its product for off-label use.
KNCK Concordia congratulates Dr. John and Bonnie Ferguson of Clyde for retiring after 53 years of providing veterinary service. Thanks for making a positive difference.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The Obama administration may go to court over immigration in Arizona.
If you need to get your current boat in shape for the season, the boat dock can handle that as well. You can get a new Suzuki motor at the boat dock. They can also service your Suzuki or any other brand of motor. Come see Doug and the boys at the boat dock, West Highway 30, paid for by JIL Enterprises.
This is KRGI, AM 1430 and 93.3 FM, Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney.
From ABC News,
cheery, Preston. Even though Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano says the U.S.-Mexican border is secure,
we've increased 15% the seizure of illegal drugs.
Inside of a minute. Overtime, extra innings, sudden death. It's all good, except for the part about death. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Overtime, extra innings, sudden death. It's all good, except for the part about death. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
The best music you found on the variety station, KRFS. AM 1600, Superior, Nebraska.
AP Radio News. Kepley. Goldman Sachs executives are facing a barrage of questions today as members of the Senate berate them for their actions during the subprime mortgage meltdown.
And that final catch was Superior, Nebraska on 1600 at 500 watts. Strangely, there were no X-band stations coming in during our capture. And that's an oral glimpse of the strongest stations available to denizens of the heartland, as heard in our location on the Nebraska-Kansas line and about halfway across the state from east to west. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We show up here every month or so and hope to share some interesting listening with you. Until we meet again in just 30 days, good listening, DXers.
For those of us in the Midwest, and especially from Motown, we lost a sports legend recently. Not a player, but Ernie Harwell, the neighborly Georgian who delivered Margaret Mitchell's newspaper in the 1930s and then delivered the play-by-play of more than 8,500 Major League Baseball games over 55 years. Ernie died Tuesday in his home in Novi, Michigan. He was 92. The Detroit Tigers, for whom he announced games for more than four decades, announced his death, which came 8 months to the day after he learned he had cancer of the bile duct. Mr. Harwell belonged to what is now a nearly extinct generation of announcers who started calling baseball on radio before television came about. Broadcasters like Mel Allen, Red Barber, Harry Carey, and Jack Buck. They became as familiar as players to the fans listening through crystal sets, car speakers, and even boom boxes. Thank you for sneaking your transistors under the pillow as you grew up loving the Tigers, Mr. Harwell said in his sign-off as the full-time voice of the Tigers in 2002. Now God has a new adventure for me. He conveyed warmth through his relaxed and humorous style that mixed the precise details of the game, player anecdotes, tales about his wife, Lulu, and idiosyncrasy phrases that defined him to millions of listeners. For example, when a ball was hit foul into the stands, it was always identified as somebody from some town that caught the ball.
Infield in double play depth for the Mariners. They've had a lot of ground balls so far today. Here's the pitch on the way. He swings and fouls it off. It'll reach the seats over back of the Tiger dugout. And the man from Walla Walla will take that one home.
And who hasn't really heard the way Ernie described a batter who just kind of stood there as the ball sailed past? I think it was something like,
there's a breaking ball in for a strike, and he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out. That's the third strikeout for Holiday.
And for us Tiger fans, it wasn't just over the fence. It was gone. It was long gone.
Right-hander against the right-hander. The outfield is straight up and deep on Fielder. He is the DH today. Swing. There's a drive to left. That one is long.
And who could ever forget? Two for the price of one.
Set the pitch. He swings. Bounding ball. Stopped by Truby for the second one. Really the first. Two for the price of one for the Tigers. A great play by Truby to end the third inning.
You know, he called games for CBS Radio and the California Angels in 1992. But when a new owner bought the Tigers, he returned. He did not have to retire. Even when he did, at age 84, he remained excited to mingle with players and fans. He stayed healthy by jump roping 300 times a day and avoiding elevators for stairs. And he returned for guest appearances with the Tigers and with Fox's and ESPN's national games. Said Ernie, "I could go on for another 4 or 5 years," he said before his final official game. But he also said, "Lulu and I talked it over, and we thought it might be better to leave too early than too late." That's Ernie, and he had a wonderful thought about baseball.
Baseball is a president tossing out the first ball of the season and a pudgy schoolboy playing catch with his dad on a Mississippi farm. A tall, thin old man waving a scorecard from the corner of his dugout. That's baseball. And so is a big fat guy with a bulbous nose running home one of his 714 home runs. There's a man in Mobile who remembers that Hannes Wagner hit a triple in Pittsburgh 46 years ago. That's baseball. And so is a scout reporting that a 16-year-old Sandlot pitcher in Cheyenne is the coming Walter Johnson. Baseball is a spirited race of man against man, reflex against reflex, of game of inches. Every skill is measured, every heroic, every failing, seen and cheered, or booed, and then becomes a statistic. In baseball, democracy shines its clearest. The only race that matters is the race of the bag. The creed is a rule book, and color, merely something to distinguish one team's uniform from another. Baseball is a rookie, his experience no bigger than the lump in his throat as he begins fulfillment of his dream. It's a veteran, too. A tired old man of 35, hoping those aching muscles can pull him through another sweltering August and September. Nicknames of baseball, names like Zeke and Pie and Kai Kai and Home Run and Cracker and Dizzy and Dazzy. Baseball is the clear, cool eyes of Rogers Hornsby, the flashing spikes of a Ty Cobb, and an overaged pixie named Rabbit Moranville. Baseball, just a game, as simple as a ball and bat, and yet as complex as the American spirit it symbolizes. It's a sport, a business, sometimes almost even religion. Why, the fairy tale of Willie Mays making a brilliant World Series catch and then dashing off to play stickball in the streets with his teenage pals. That's baseball. And so is the husky voice of a doomed Lou Gehrig saying, "I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth." Baseball is cigar smoke, hot roasted peanuts, ladies' day, down in front, take me out for the ball game, the seventh inning stretch, and the star-spangled banner. Baseball is a man named Campanella telling the nation's business leaders, "You have to be a man to be a big leaguer, but you have to have a lot of little boy in you, too." This is a game for America, this baseball, a game for boys and for men.
For those of us who are Tiger fans, we're never going to forget Ernie Harwell, one of the greats.
Detroit Tiger baseball.
Perhaps even bigger for the Red Sox. Here's the set on the mound by Lomborg. He delivers. Here's a long belt to left. This will be a home run for K-Line. And the Tigers lead 2-11. Now hit one of the three. Number 7 for K-Line. He hit an inside pitch, and he pulled it with power into the screen in left field. A two-run homer by K-Line, and the Tigers jump in front 2-0 in the third.
On side two, we have some stories to tell you. We also have some jingles to play you and some information about the 2010 National Radio Club Convention. So we'll see you on side two of the DX Audio Service for June 2010.
This is WKMH 1310.
there's music.
Much more music.
And there's news.
Eyewitness News.
Where the tigers and lions live together.